praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Life Study emphasizes the capital L life that can be found in the Scriptures. Jesus himself said in John 6:63, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." This is the fruit of over 70 years of ministry by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Watchman Nee began his ministry in China in the 1920s, and it continued until his imprisonment and eventual martyrdom in the 1970s. Witness Lee brought this ministry to the United States in 1962 and began speaking these life study messages in 1974, completing it in 1995. To find out more, you can visit our website, lifestudy.com. Again, that's lifestudy.com. Now, let's join today's program. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, the apostle, touches the so-called gifts of the Spirit. He concludes the chapter by telling the believers by the shallowness of the most outward of these gifts. But then he points them clearly to something much better, the gift of love. Listen to chapter 12, verse 31, and chapter 13, verse 1. "But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and moreover I show to you a most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." Bob Danker has joined us today for fellowship today from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Wonderful portion before us today, isn't it, Bob?
Oh, Chris, this is marvelous. This matter of love is a tremendous thing. And in this broadcast, we are going to see something about what love is and how necessary it is that we pursue it, that we be filled with love for the building up of the body of Christ.
We've just come now, Bob, from dealing with Paul's writings in chapter 12, and here he begins to address this matter of the gifts and the gifts of the Spirit. He comes back to it in chapter 14 in a very strong way, but in between these two chapters is this chapter 13, and the focus of this chapter is all on this one thing, isn't it? It's quite significant.
It is, Chris. At the end of chapter 12, Paul charges the Corinthians to desire earnestly to have the greater gifts. That means the gifts that are most profitable for the building up of the church as the body of Christ. Then he says, "Now I'm going to show you a most excellent way." Love is the most excellent way for us to acquire or to gain these greater gifts and also to exercise all the gifts, whether they be lesser or greater,
right,
for one goal, that is, for the building up of the body of Christ.
I think it's widely acknowledged by virtually all readers of the Bible that the church in Corinth had experienced at least an improper use, and probably we could fairly say an abuse of some of these gifts, especially the more outward of the so-called miraculous things. And so here's Paul's loving, adjusting, perfecting word and bringing them to the matter of love. He really is bringing God's way to them, isn't he?
He really is, Chris. This first verse in the chapter, Paul refers to speaking in tongues of men and of angels. This is certainly miraculous,
yeah,
and highly regarded by the Corinthians, the gift of tongues, and even many believers today. But Paul went on to say that if we can do these miraculous things, yet we don't have love, we become like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. That means we become a sound without life.
Hmm.
Life is missing. So Paul, again,
yeah,
is bringing the Corinthian believers back to the matter of life. What they needed desperately was to grow in life.
Well, let's join Witness Lee, Bob, for the first portion today.
We should all know that chapter 13 is a direct continuation of chapter 12. You shouldn't consider chapter 13 as something isolated, standing by itself. No, it is a continuation, and it keeps going on in chapter 14. These three chapters are a complete section in this book for the dealing of the matter of gifts. The last verse of chapter 12, it says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and yet I show to you a way of excellence. Now, the way of excellence is just love. So, chapter 13 continues to present us this excellent way. In chapter 12, we have four stresses: speaking, spirit, body, and administration. Love is the fifth stress. Speaking ushers us into the spirit, and spirit brings us into the body. And this is all for the body. And the body is for God's administration. Now, the fifth stress is the way to use the gifts, the way to be in the body, the way, even the excellent way to be for the body. Do you know to be for the body is all together a matter of love? To be for the body is love. If I don't have love, and how can I care for others? So to care for the members that the body may be built up is love. This is the topmost gift. Nothing edifies people like love. And nothing solves problems like love. Love is the real antibiotics. Love is the best medicine. It cures every kind of diseases. No wonder Paul uses one chapter to stress this crucial matter.
Well, as he just pointed out, Bob, in chapter 12, as Paul touches this matter of the gifts, he's putting everything into its full context. We have these four stresses: the manner of speaking, which brings us to the spirit, which brings us to the body, which brings us to God's administration. And now the way, the excellent way in which to practice or to use these gifts. And it's still all focused in this context of the body, isn't it?
It is, Chris. It's very important that we realize that God's goal, God's heart desire is to have a body to express Christ. God's desire is to have an organism filled with himself as life, so that he may carry out his administration. That is, he may fulfill his eternal plan, the plan that he made before the foundation of the world. So the body is the focus, it's the climax, it's the goal, everything is for the body of Christ. All the gifts are for the body. Whatever Christ is to us for our enjoyment is for the body. So the body is the focus. So Paul here is trying his best to get the Corinthians away from being self-centered, centered on their own benefit, their own personal edification, to care for the building up of the body of Christ. This is why Paul introduces love as the most excellent way to have the greater gifts, the most profitable gifts, than to exercise the gifts for the body. The only way to be for the body of Christ and not for ourselves is to be full of love, to pursue love, to have this greatest gift, the gift of love. On one hand, it's a gift. On the other hand, it's something related to life, and we come back again to the matter of life. So Paul here is desperately trying to turn the Corinthians from the lesser things to the most crucial thing, that which is profitable for the building up of the body of Christ.
I like how in your answer here, response just a moment ago, Bob, you pointed out that Paul's focus is to turn the Corinthians from being self-focused or self-centered. And really, I think the Bible does this for all of us. We're all tend to be that way. And yet Paul had been brought out of that. You know, he said he counted everything lost for this one thing, and that is the matter of what is on God's heart, what is God-focused and God-centered, and that surely is the building up of the body of Christ, the church. In chapter 13 now, there's a lengthy list here of the attributes and the characteristics of love, and for time's sake, we won't read them all, but I have selected a couple of verses in chapter 13 that I thought we would read as we prepare to go back to Witness Lee. Verse 4, 5, 6, and 7, love suffers long. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not puffed up. It does not behave unbecomingly and does not seek its own things. There we have it. It is not provoked and does not take account of evil. It's all the things we're not, isn't it, Bob?
Exactly, Chris.
It does not rejoice because of unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It covers all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is a description of someone else, Bob.
It is, Chris. It's certainly not me. I know that. I don't have these virtues, but every one of them, as you read them, you can see how needed and absolutely essential they are for us to live together as members in the body of Christ, to care for one another and not for ourselves, and to actually carry out this marvelous thing of building up this corporate organism, the body of Christ. How much we need all these virtues, which are the characteristics of love, which we don't have in our natural and especially our fallen self. So this is something else. This is another person is love. And of course, we know that this person is God himself.
Well, that's what we're going to hear, and I think we cannot hear it enough. Here's Witness Lee once more.
If we do love the Lord, and we mean business, and we are seeking after the building up of his body, that he may have an instrument for his administration on this earth to accomplish God's eternal purpose. If so, we all must pursue love. Just love. Brothers, you need love. Sisters, you need love. Only love builds up. Love, according to chapter 13, is the everlasting gift. It is a gift really constituted with the divine life. And this gift is just the expression of God. That is the eternal life. As long as you have life, love is here. When life is hidden, that's life. When life is expressed, that is love. Paul listed 15 items of the virtues of love. After you get into all the virtues, you have to admit, love is nothing but God. Who can have these 15 virtues? I cannot endure all things. Can I? I cannot believe all things. Can I? I cannot do this. I cannot do that. I cannot do any item of the 15. Long-suffering, can I long-suffer? I can. This is God. Love is God. The Bible says so. God is love. And God is life. Life is God's essence. Love is God's expression. God in himself is life. God expressed is love. And this love, who is God himself with his divine essence as life, has these 15 virtues. So, no wonder in this book, 1 Corinthians, Paul charges the Corinthians to grow in life. To grow in life. They are short of love. They are short of life. In other words, they are short of God.
Bob, there is a point here that is so profound and so significant. I really pray that we can touch it and hit the mark, so to speak, in this portion. Because what he just said at the end here, we recognize all these attributes, all these virtues. As you said before, this is just the person of God. This is not us. And so if we are short of love, if we're short of these things, the solution is not for us to try to somehow gain love, get love. How do we do this, Bob? There is a way that Paul is pointing us to, isn't there?
That's right, Chris. And the way to have love is simply to have life.
Yeah.
Brother Lee pointed out so wonderfully here, life is the essence of God, and love is the expression of God as life. So this is why, again, Paul was so burdened for the Corinthians. You know, the reason, Chris, they had so many problems among them, and this book deals with many problems among the Corinthians, and these are problems among believers in general. I think we all have to admit these problems exist today among the believers. The reason for these problems is the shortage of life, is that the Corinthian believers were still infants in Christ. They had not grown in life. They were not mature in the life of God. They were saved, but they were not filled with God's essence, with God Himself as life. And when we are filled with God as life, then we express this life as love. And so we are able to live in the body, we're able to do everything and be everything for the building up of the body of Christ. So this, again, focuses our need is to grow in life, to have God's essence increasing in us until we're full of the life of God, full of God Himself as life. Then, spontaneously, we will express this life as love. And that will issue in the building up of the body of Christ.
And the characteristic of this love is not the natural, sentimental, kind of, overly emotional kind of love. There's a solidness and a stability to the love of God that when you touch it, it has a different taste altogether, doesn't it?
That's right. It has a divine taste because love is God Himself. When we touch the divine love, we touch the taste of God. It is not a performance. Mm. It is not something sweet, sugar-coated like candy. It's something that is so real and so solid. And it's something that always cares for others in the way that they may gain God as life and be built up in the body of Christ. So love has as its goal the building up of the body.
As Paul continues in chapter 13, he identifies a few more of these 15 items, characteristics of love. And then at the end of the chapter, he groups love with two other wonderful items. We'll explore this whole topic in a short way in our final segment today. Let me read verse 8 and then verse 13. Love never falls away, but whether prophecies, they will be rendered useless, or tongues, they will cease, or knowledge, it will be rendered useless. Now, verse 13, and then the first two words of chapter 14. Now there abide faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Pursue love. Here's Witness Lee.
Paul says, this love, with all these virtues, never falls away. In Greek, it means survives everything, holds its place. Love survives. This is the right meaning. Nothing can shake this love a bit. And all the other gifts, even the best one, the top one, prophecy, will be done away, but not this. Not only so, only three things remain: faith, hope, and love. Faith, what faith does? Faith receives the divine things and realizes the spiritual and unseen things. Then what hope does? Hope reaps and partakes of the things realized by faith. Then love enjoys the things received and realized by faith and partaken of by hope for nourishing ourselves, building up others, and expressing God, eventually fulfilling the entire law. Such a love causes us to grow in life for the development and use of the spiritual gifts, and is the excellent way to have the greater gifts. Hence, it is the greatest of the three abiding virtues. So we must pursue. This is the fifth stress in dealing with the gift. And this is love.
Well, Bob, in this final portion, we included actually Witness Lee reading from something he had prepared, and not typical in the life study, but I thought that was quite an outstanding portion, particularly how he relates these three, faith, hope, and love.
Yes, Chris. Actually, Brother Lee was reading there, and every word, I think, was carefully selected and very, very meaningful. And I really appreciate what he said. What is faith? Faith enables us to receive the divine things and to realize the spiritual and unseen things. God himself is spiritual and unseen. Everything related to God we can't see with our physical eyes,
yeah,
or many things related to God. We need faith in order to realize, to substantiate these things. Then hope comes after faith to reap and partake of the things that are realized by faith. But love is the greatest of these three, because through love we enjoy all these things that we have partaken of, mm-hmm, by hope and realized by faith. And I appreciate his words here. He said, our enjoying these things through love is for three things. Firstly, to nourish ourselves. We need to be nourished by all the divine things. Then, to build up others.
Right.
That's for the building up of the body of Christ. And finally, to express God. Eventually, love fulfills the entire law and carries out God's eternal purpose so that God can be satisfied and so that we also can enjoy God and all the things that he has planned for us in full. So love is the greatest of these three things, and love will never fall away. It will never cease, because love is God himself, and love is the expression of the eternal life of God.
In verse 7, it says, love endures all things. Verse 8, as you just said, love never falls away. This is that enduring, eternal, solid quality of the divine love that we were talking about a few minutes ago.
That's right, Chris. Love endures. It is eternal because God is eternal, and because his life, which is the very essence of love, is eternal.
If we're short of love, Bob, what we're really short of is life and the growth in life, and how faithful the Apostle Paul, the Word of God, and this ministry always to bring us back to this matter of life.
I appreciate this so much, Chris.
Oh, so do I, Brother Bob. Thank you again for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
It's a pleasure, as always, to be with you.
Well, I see on the wall, the clock tells us we are out of time for today. We do save a little bit at the end each day to tell you how you can contact us so that you can receive the printed materials. And really, as much as we hope you enjoy these radio broadcasts, it's really our sincere desire that you could get your hands on the printed material, the ministry material, in an enduring way, in a longer lasting way than just these 30 minutes that seem to escape so quickly every day. If you'd like to find out about the printed volume for the Life Study, the Recovery Version that is rich in footnotes in all of these portions, all of these things and a number of other resources can be found if you'll contact us, Living Stream Ministry, our toll-free number 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. Or write to us at Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814, or send email to radio@lsm.org. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to thee. Receive us into thy wise hands.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. If you'd like to read the works of Witness Lee and Watchman Nee, just visit our website, ministrybooks.org. From there, you'll find over 600 complete titles available to read online free of charge. Witness Lee's ministry stood squarely on the shoulders of his mentor and co-worker, Watchman Nee, as well as those of countless ministers of the New Testament throughout the ages. The riches contained in his life study of the Bible represent the top, the cream of his 70-plus years of ministry, and range in topic from lessons for new believers to commentary and exposition on passages from every book of the Bible. But they all contain practical and deeper truths about the Christian life. Again, this wonderful online resource is available to you free of charge at ministrybooks.org. If you have questions or comments about this ministry or the program you heard today, email us radio@lsm.org or call us toll-free, 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Thanks for listening today.